Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and today we shall be studying verses 1 to 6 on the house of mourning. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. And you will realize that in these 6 verses, the statements that were made by King Solomon seems contradictory to the wisdom of the world. How can the day of death be better than the day of one's birth? How can the house of mourning be better than the house of feasting? How can sorrow and sadness be better than the mirth that is found in this world? We are a people that love to feast, isn't it? We are a people that loves to celebrate birthdays. Anybody celebrate Death Day? I mean, if you celebrate Death Day now, something is not right. You are still alive, right? You don't celebrate your Death Day. But everybody loves to celebrate birthday. Nobody looks forward, right? At least in the world, nobody looks forward to the day of death. Everybody wants to celebrate their birthdays. And everybody loves to go feasting. Which, for example, when you have your family gatherings, which of the family gatherings that you have is to meet together and then to just spend a whole day crying and not feasting? Normally, when you gather for your family gatherings, let's say you gather for extended family meetings, people will gather and then people will have a time of makan, isn't it? Right? That's the Singaporean term, makan. And nowadays, there is no lack of places to meet. If you cannot meet in the HDB flat, because our HDB flats are getting smaller, so want an extended family to meet also hard. And then sometimes when you meet there, you also have to cook, right? It can be quite a hassle to cook. So now, very convenient. Everywhere in Singapore, there is this phenomenon called shopping mall. True? Every new town has a shopping mall. Last time, Punggol do not have shopping mall. The one that is called Punggol Plaza near my place is no shopping mall at all. It's just 3 stories, a lot of tuition centers, 1 wet market, 1 NTUC, 1 Kofu, which if you go now, it is shut down for renovation. Nothing there. So at one point in time, the people in Punggol, they were complaining, no shopping mall. But now, there's one very big shopping mall called Punggol Waterway, the Waterway Mall. Waterway Point. Every new town has shopping mall, all very conveniently at the doorstep. And if you examine the shopping mall, you will realize that with the passing years, the composition of the stores are changing. In the past, you used to have many stores selling clothes, electronics, and all this kind of stuff. Right? But nowadays, you find that these stores selling clothes, selling sportswear, selling electronics, either they are being reduced in size or they are not even present. True? You start to find a lesser number of all these shops, especially in the heartland, because hard to do business in Singapore. Market is small. But with eateries, it's a very different question, because you will find that the percentage of eateries in each of the heartland malls, they are increasing in number. Don't believe later on, those who live in the northeast, when the new Sengkang Mall opens near the Sengkang Polyclinic, you go and take a look. Right? Those of you who have ever visited that mall, you will notice that last time used to have a lot of electronic shops and all this kind, even, I think it's Metro or whatever down there. Now you go there, you will find, almost every single store is makan store, restaurant. Singapore loves to go to restaurants, Singapore loves to eat, Singapore loves feasting. Singaporeans love parties. And so you tell Singaporeans, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. They will look at you with a very clueless look on their face. What are you talking about? How can the house of mourning be better than the house of feasting? Don't you enjoy having all these times of makan with one another? The food is so nice and we love to discuss about the food. Look at this crab, how nice, how big. you pay this particular amount, well, how succulent, and then we discuss how to cook the crab, or well, what type of crab is the best, or well, what type of prawn is the best. Well, the prawn, you know, if the shell sticks to the prawn, it's not so fresh, you know, you must be able to peel, and then you must have a particular kind of taste. And then the various different type of prawn noodle you can cook, this type of base, that kind of base, or one with the crab base, one we don't know what kind of base. Well, then we talk about makan. Singaporeans love to talk about food. In fact, Singaporeans also have a lot of food blogs, right? Love to blog about food. Makan. Feasting. But when it comes to death, nobody likes to talk about death. Nobody likes to talk about death. And in fact, in Chinese tradition, and most of us here are Chinese, to talk about one's death will sometimes earn a rebuke from those around you, isn't it? Especially if you talk about death during Chinese New Year. Huh, what are you talking? How dare you talk about death during Chinese New Year? Chinese New Year cannot talk about death. Okay, this word is banned. And yet, here in the Bible, we are told, the house of mourning better than the house of feasting. The day of death is better than the days of one's birth. And why is it so? Because the house of mourning presents the reality of life to everyone. That all of us, one day will die. In fact, not just one day we will die, but if you examine the scriptures, the theology of the scriptures teaches us that this body of us is dying. We are now currently dying. In fact, just this morning, somebody posted on Facebook, well, it's from a motivational speaker. And so do not go to this motivational speaker and look at all the things that he says, because most of the things that he says are false. But one particular slide caught my attention, and it was a slide about dying. He talks about how a child, when he is young, he's dying to have toys. And then after that, when he gets to school, he is dying, right? Dying to get out of school. From the Singapore context, in primary school, you are dying to have your PSLE, right? You're dying to finish your PSLE and then to get to secondary school. When you get to secondary school, you can't wait to be an adult. You're dying to be an adult. You're dying to finish your O-level, dying to go to university, and then dying to go to work. When you go to work, you are dying to earn a bigger pay packet, dying to climb up the social ladder. And then when you get married, some of us are dying to have children. Although maybe in Singapore, sometimes people don't want to have children. But okay, most of us, I hope we are dying to have children, right? We want children, so dying to have children. And after that, when the children are born, God gives us children, we are dying to that the children will grow up. Well, when will the children grow up and then get married and then leave home? Big headache to look after them. True? Yes, parents? Well, big headache. And then after that, when the children leave home, you are dying when your children will come back and visit you. Wow, my children are no longer here. When will they come back to visit me? And then finally, before you know it, you are dying in bed. You cannot move. Your whole body now is ready to give up the ghost. That was what the person presented in the slide. Very creative use of the word dying, but what he said is really true. Dying, that is the reality of life. And so therefore, the house of mourning is really very good because it reminds us of this reality. And when we are reminded of this reality, we therefore know how to live our life appropriately in a manner that is pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, firstly, the first question would be this. Are you therefore prepared for the house of mourning? You look at verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. A name. A name would usually represents a parent's aspirations for a child, isn't it? Most parents, they will take a very long time to think about what name to give to their children. And when their child is born, they will be very excited to, you know, to give their child this name. And unless you are the type of parents with a very twisted mind, I don't think you want to give names that have evil connotations to your children, isn't it? Like, for example, I don't think any parent down here would name the child Lucifer, even though the name Lucifer is actually quite good. The name Lucifer, you know, means light bearer, Lucifer, light bearer. But because Satan is now called Lucifer, I don't think you want to name your child Lucifer, isn't it? True? So you won't name your child Lucifer. You will consider very carefully all these kind of things. And then before you give the child the name, and the name of the child represents your parents, represent the parents' aspiration that this child will grow up well. And so a name is very important. And here the word name also carries this kind of connotation. Here the word name encapsulates this idea of a person's honor, of a person's reputation, a person's testimony, a person's witness. And here, King Solomon says, a good name is better than precious ointment. Now, ladies, do you love perfume? I do not know whether some of you here buy perfume. I mean, for men, I'm not sure. For me, I'm not concerned about the type of perfume I have. But I know some men, you know, they really will go and think very carefully what kind of cologne that they are using or whatever. And some ladies, when they buy their perfume, they are very careful which kind of perfume that they choose. And for them, this bottle of perfume that they hold in their hand is very precious. Here, precious ointment, precious perfume. Certain perfumes in those days, very valuable. Because in order to get this kind of perfumes, you need to go throughout the entire world, and perhaps only certain portions of the world will have this particular type of plants. And some perfumes are not just made by just one type of plant. You will probably have to gather several types of plants, several types of different types of liquids, and then you mix them together, then you can form this special type of perfume. And this word ointment, of course, not only covers the kind of perfume, but also various kind of scented oils. And in those days, especially in the area of the Middle East, they value this kind of oils very much. They can sometimes be as precious as gold and fine silver. And then what you realize, this kind of precious ointment, they will give up a very nice smell. That you smell, you say, wow, how nice it is to smell this kind of precious ointment. And so here, a good name is related, right? Is related or is illustrated or is described as the kind of nice smell that comes up from this kind of perfume. So nice. Strive to have this kind of good name. Now, why did Solomon mention this good name down here? And then later on, he mentions the day of death than the day of one's birth. Well, because this good name that Solomon is talking about is the good name that you will have when you die. It's not just a good name like, oh, you are a very famous swimmer. You are a swimmer that swim the 100-meter butterfly and then you break the Olympic record or world record. Not this kind of good name, but here the good name will, of course, refer the good name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be seen in your life. The kind of impact, the kind of witness that you can have for the people around you. At the day of death, when there is the house of mourning, people usually will have a eulogy, isn't it? Now, what kind of eulogy will they give? And what kind of things will the people say who are present in your house of mourning, in your day of death? When they come, when they gather, sure, of course, when you have eulogy, everybody will say good things, right? Sometimes short eulogy, sometimes a slightly longer one. Everybody will try their best to find all the good points and to say. Otherwise, it's not called a eulogy. A eulogy, the word you, supposed, right? The Greek word you is supposed to mean good, right? You don't say bad things about a person during a eulogy. But just pause and then you wait and then you hear very carefully what the people are saying when they sit down at the tables down there. What would they say? Would they say, "Hiya, it is, you know, what a relief that this person is now gone, because while he's on this earth, you know how much trouble, how much evil he done to the people around him. Now that he is gone, wow, actually it's very good. It's very welcome. The relative is coming now. And then so they pretend, and then they smile, and then after that they go off. Or perhaps nobody is even present in your house of mourning at your day of death. Why? Because they can't be bothered to even come and to remember the impact, the influence that you have on their life, because it is a big fat zero. Wow, then that would be very sad. But a Christian's testimony ought not to be that way. Right? It's supposed to be a good name, and the only time, right? Actually, truly, the only time where somebody can say affirmatively that this person is truly faithful, right, to the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that he do, that the impact is one that is very beautiful, really, is when the person dies. Why? Because when the person is still alive, anytime he can change. True? But once the person died, everything is sealed. And then, at this day of death, when people come, and then you have lived your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, positively, faithfully, there the people come and hear the gospel being preached. There the people will come and to remember the goodness of the Lord through you. Will not the people be encouraged? Will not the people be moved to also live their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ? And when sinners who do not believe in Christ, when they come and when they attend such a vigil service, when they are there in the house of mourning, will they therefore not say, wow, what a wonderful name this person has. It is the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know this name also. I want to know this Savior. The only name under which, under heaven, a person may be saved. And this person, he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at the impact that he has. Look at the peace that these people possess in their hearts. Wow. Then what a good day of death, isn't it? And moreover, we know that when a Christian dies, all sorrows for the Christians are ended, right, isn't it? He is now in a better place. He is in the hands of the one living and true God. People celebrate birthday, but actually what happens after a person is born? You just look at your life. How many days of sorrow, how many days of pain, how many days of aches, body aches you still have. Recently, one teacher of mine was joking. He said he wants to live until 120. I think he's joking, right? And I think later on he affirmed that it was a joke. 120, yeah, 120 if your strength is unabated, there's no ache, no pain, and then if there are no problems in life, which of course there will always be problems in life, then okay, very good. But the reality of life is your body is dying, there are so many problems and troubles in this world, there's sin and wickedness everywhere, and yet we celebrate our birthday and then we don't look forward to a day of death. Actually, the day of death for the Christian is the best day, because it's the day of victory. That's why the day of death is better than the day of birth. And yet, our mentalities are reversed. We like to celebrate our birthday, but with regards to death, oh, please don't talk about death. No, it cannot be for the Christian. A Christian should look forward. Yes, right now, I'm still alive because there is much to do for Christ. But I'm not afraid of death. I am ready to die. And that must be the kind of mentality a Christian will have. And of course, naturally, men will fear death, right? I mean, of course, it's easy to come here and then say, don't fear death, be ready to die. But true, men, it is a natural fear. And yet, you look at the scriptures, we must strive and by the Spirit to really understand what it means by the day of death is better than the day of birth, and have this convicted in our heart. Prepared, right? So are you prepared, therefore, for the house of mourning? That is number one. But while we are on this world, right, there will be some that will go before us. And then so we have every opportunity to go into the house of mourning. And so yes, while we are prepared in for our own house of mourning, we are also given this wonderful privilege to participate in the house of mourning. And when this opportunity comes to participate in the house of mourning, do we look forward to go to the house of mourning, to view this as a wonderful privilege to be there, to be, you know, to be confronted with the reality of life? That is what should be also in our heart. And it's with this idea in mind that Solomon says here, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Because the house of feasting, what is really presented, is not the reality of life. Yes, there is laughter. Yes, there is this mirth that is going on, eating, drinking. But is life really about eating and drinking? No. The sad truth about life is that everybody is dying. And unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not have eternal life. And so what the house of feasting really does is this. When we go to the house of feasting, it clouds our minds. It fools us to think that all is all right in this life. But all is not all right. All is not all right. Very soon there will be judgment. Now for those who are unbelievers, once they die, that's it. The end is sealed. Right, they will go to hell, and after that into the hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire. They will have to stand, and then the dead, they'll stand before the great white throne, and after that also be cast into the lake of fire. Right, forever and ever. And then what about us? Right, for us, it is also a reminder that our time on earth is limited. Our life is one that is frail. Our life is one that is transient. We have a limited period of time in order to do the work of the Lord, in order to have a good name for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, don't waste your time. Look at the body that is laying in the coffin and lay it upon the heart. And really, whether it is, you know, if you go to someone who is a believer, yes, very comforting for the whole ceremony, the whole vigil service. Really points into the victory that a Christian has in Christ. And then we are encouraged. Yes, there is victory in the resurrection. There are many problems in this life, the trials and tribulations. But what are these trials and tribulations compared to the glories that await us in heaven? Victory is already won. I must press on. But let's say even if you go to a house of mourning, and then it is someone who is not a believer. Wow, it's also a warning unto us, isn't it? It tells us how many people are there dying in the chains of sin, and there is really a limited time in which we can share the good news of Jesus Christ to them. And not just that, but we should also be very thankful. Oh, how if the Lord Jesus Christ have not been so gracious unto me, I will be exactly the same. That is the reality of life. And when you go into the house of mourning, what happens is that all these things will be laid into your heart, will be impressed upon the heart, will be established there. That you will not forget, because man is very forgetful. Sometimes we think all life is nothing but soccer and Pokemon. Right now, Pokemon. I see those people in Hougang chasing after the rare Pokemon called Snorlax. Well, I think they are very silly. You know why? Because I have my sister. My sister just is a casual player. She just switched on from the room also, not even move out. And suddenly this Snorlax appeared, and then she just catch. And then after that, she very happy. She go and sleep. And these people running across the street, the bus, and then sleep all these late nights just to catch something that is 101010, right? That's the reality. All computer programs, you know, right? All code, right? 101010101. But these people think their whole life is Pokemon and Snorlax. They should go to the house of mourning, then the reality. Yeah, this is reality. One day you will be there also. So how, therefore, are you living your life? That will be the question. And so therefore, right, verse 3, Solomon goes about to say, yes, sorrow is better than laughter, right? Then all these things afterwards, right, will be the benefits of going to the house of mourning, right? Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Now, in what ways is the sadness of the countenance of heart, the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better? Well, again, when you see the reality, when you see the people who are sorrowing, it reminds you, why are the people sorrowing? Because of sin. Oh, well, this is the evil of sin. The wages of sin is death. And this drives our heart closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I need the Lord Jesus Christ. Please forgive me of my sin. And then we will walk close to Him. Then the countenance of the heart is made better. And so, yes, this kind of sorrow is a good sorrow. Of course, when we talk about sorrow in the house of mourning of someone who is a believer, well, this sorrow is not like the sorrow of the world. It's a sorrow. Why? Because, yes, we miss the person that has departed, or we enjoyed the days of fellowship with him here on this earth. And if the person especially has a good name, wow, now we are going to miss the kind of blessings that we have from the Lord through him. But nevertheless, in the heart there's this rejoicing. One day we will meet him in heaven. In the sweet by and by, we shall see him. But nevertheless, a reminder of that reality, and we see the sorrow of the loved ones. We remember, why must all these things happen? Well, because man sinned against God, and then he fell, and so therefore, what we see is reality. What we see, you know, in the coffin is due to man's sin. And so therefore, if we have sin in our hearts, better quickly repent and quickly walk close to God. Yes, and so therefore, this kind of sorrow, good sorrow, right, by it the heart is made better. And not only just that, but verse 4 tells us, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. Right? And so, knowing, right, the kind of benefit that one can have by attending the house of mourning, then what should we do? What should our reaction be? Well, verse 4 tells us, well, then we must look forward to the house of mourning. We must set our hearts for looking forward to this privilege to attend such events. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. And why is the heart of the wise in the house of mourning? Because they know it is reality. Their eyes are not blinded by the lights of the world. They do not deceive themselves by the glitters, by the deceiving smells that are all around them. But because they know God's word, because they trust in the Bible, that whatever the Bible says is true, this is indeed the end of all men. And so therefore, I better take note of this message. Oh, the house of mirth. That is not the right picture. The house of mourning, that is the right picture. Oh, let my mind be attuned to the house of mourning. That is wise. The wise people are those who, you know, there are some people who only like to hear good things, right? Those who only like to hear good things. Like some children, they only want their parents to say good things. When their parents scold them, they don't like. Actually, it's very foolish, isn't it? Because the parents actually meant good for them, and so therefore the parents scold them, discipline them. But very foolish. They rather go and hear their friends. Their friends, the mother says, study hard. Their friends say, play Pokemon. They go and play Pokemon. Right? True or not? They rather listen to their friends, play Pokemon. Go out, 12 midnight, go to the park, Hougang Avenue 10. You see somebody has set a lure down there. No, we better go. Wow, all the rare ones go there. We're going to play from 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning, 12 midnight to 4 a.m. in the morning. Oh, they rather listen. Mother say, go and sleep. The next day is the Lord's day, the one. Until 4 a.m. Foolish, right? And so therefore, well, the Bible here says, right? In the heart of fools is the house of mirth. Yes, that is the thing that is residing there. Always thinking about feasting, always thinking about all these kinds of enjoyment, the lust of the world. It is there. They have said in their heart. That is what the foolish people of the world are like. But a Christian is not supposed to be a fool. A Christian is supposed to be wise. And so these things that so occupy the hearts of the people of the world cannot be our preoccupation. It cannot be residing there. It must be replaced by the reality that is found in the Holy Scriptures. It must be replaced by good theology. And so therefore, for the hearts of the wise, it's different. They have said in their hearts, this reality, yes, one, we have a limited time on this world, we better occupy till He comes. That is the reality. And that will be in their hearts. And so, unlike the foolish, right, you look at verse 5, unlike the foolish, who will only hear the song of fools, right? Everybody like to hear songs, right? What kind of songs do you like to hear? Or they like to hear this kind of songs that the foolish are singing to charm the people of the world. Just like advertisement, right? You realize advertisement that is on television, right? You do know that they not only spend a lot of money trying to design the colors of the things, the colors of the product, right? And the way the advertisement is presented. But a lot of money also spent in terms of the composition of the music, you know that, music. Well, the kind of music, I mean, for example, you advertise, like somebody want to advertise you to see English Premier League, right? What kind of song are they going to play? Are they going to play Lullaby for you? You play Lullaby for you, nobody want to watch English Premier League, nobody want to watch, right? What kind of music would they use? They will use some type of music that is very energetic, correct? Right? So music is very important. And sometimes music, if the person is very talented in composing, they can compose a tune that can so attract you that you will want to go for a particular activity, that you want to see a particular program, you want to buy a particular product. The world fools will also sing their tune because they want you to join them. Come, follow me. Keep on partying. Keep on eating. Keep on drinking. Keep on finding a time of great merriment. And they sing their songs. Oh, this song is so attractive. I love this song. I want to follow them. And in the end, it will be just like the story of the bagpipe, of the piper. You know the piper? The piper, and then all the mouse follow. And in the end, all the children also follow. And then after that, the whole city, no more children. The piper who plays the music. There is a, I think, is it Aesop's Fables? They have this story. The piper. Blow, blow, blow. And follow the songs of fools. And in the end, you end up foolish. Yeah, then the songs of fools. Right? And these songs will sound very nice to the ears. On the other hand, with regards to the wise, it is rebuke. Right? It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise. Why rebuke? Because what is in the heart of the wise is the house of mourning. And so they will warn you, no, this is not the reality of life. Please, wake up. No, I don't want to wake up. I want to continue to hear these songs. I want to continue to be deceived. Then you are a fool. The wise. These words, usually not nice to hear. Rebuke. The house of mourning. Also a house of rebuke, isn't it? People don't like to be there. Who wants to be in the house of mourning? And yet, that is exactly what we who are children of the Most High God, is something that we really need. This reminder, this rebuke, this warning. Wake up, Christians! What are you doing for your life? Very soon you will be lying there in the grave. What are you doing? Have you done your best for the Master? Have you labored hard for Him? Are you living a life of holiness? Are you consumed by worldliness? Wake up! Now is the time to labor for the Lord. Now is the time to live a life of holiness. Now is the time to learn God's word and to obey. Don't follow the rest of the world. That is the message of the house of mourning. And so hear this rebuke that is found in that house. The house of mourning is a house of wisdom. Don't be consumed by the laughters of the world, which in verse 6 is described in this way. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot. Now this one, because we live in Singapore, it is very hard to understand. Because in Singapore, how we cook, we use gas and cook, right? Gas, any sound? Or maybe a little bit, a bit, right? If it's high fire. Right? And now, worse still, now people, some of them, they have electric cooker, right? You place there and then you cook. No sound at all. Those who are of our pioneer generation, they may know this, right? But those who are young, like even from my generation onwards, the only sound they will hear of fire is the sound of the Bunsen burner, right? Bunsen burner, right? Young people, your Bunsen burner, you're used to do your scientific experiment. But those who are familiar with the old way of cooking, they will understand this crackling of thorns, right? Crackling of thorns. Will refer to firewood, and some of this firewood will be very sharp. And in the Middle Eastern countries, sometimes they will also use weeds and the grass of the field to cook their food. Remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, they talk about the grass of the field. The next day is thrown in the fire, and they are burned. And how also in John chapter 15, when they talk about the true vine, they talk about any branches that have no. That is fruitless, the master will push them and then cast into fire and then they are burned. So in those days, they use all this kind of firewood and all this kind of weeds and all these kind of thorny things that they throw it inside. And then when you light the firewood, you will hear the crackling of the wood. If not, when Esther and Matthew comes back from Australia, in Australia they love their campfires, right? And those who go to Australia before, right, campfires, right? Okay, Alan, campfire. Have you seen over there? Maybe we should ask Esther and Matthew to film, okay? Film campfire, and then you're going to hear the kind of sound is here related to what? The laughter of the fool. The laughter of the fool is just like this cracking sound. So when you hear ha 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 ha, you think very nice, right? But it's actually just after the you look back at the firewood. What is left of the firewood? All consumed, all burned, cannot be used anymore. Gone. Picture of vanity. In other words, you go into the house of myrrh, you go and laugh together with all these people. In the end, your whole life is wasted. It's just consumed away like this firewood. After that, no more. gone. All it makes is just some crackling noise. After that, what is left behind? Emptiness, worthlessness, kosong, soap bubbles. Soap bubbles, soap bubbles, all is soap bubbles. And so therefore, next time, if somebody invites you to go to the house of feasting, please, of course, if, for example, there is meetings, right, with your friends and with your, for example, parents, right? Your parents want you to gather and then you want to meet, a family outing. I mean, please don't come away from this passage and say, I cannot go for any of such meetings, okay? This is not what this passage is trying to say. You better go. I mean, it's a family meeting, Chinese New Year, Chinese reunion dinner, better go. Don't go to your parents or whatever and say, wow, the house of mourning is better than the house of feasting. I am not attending Chinese reunion dinner. No, that's not what this passage is trying to say. But what this passage is trying to say is this. Wherever you have this time of feasting, knows that this picture is a false picture. And don't be consumed by this kind of feasting. Don't let it be your preoccupation of your life. Don't be like the silly Singaporeans who go from 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. 12 midnight to 4 a.m. to play the Pokemon, Hougang Avenue 10 and rush across. Or like those people who go and line up just to get one particular plate of char kway teow. Or now is the famous one is chai tau kway because of Joseph Schooling. I don't think she has earned so much business before. Now she's really earning one. So go and line up. This is Joseph Schooling's chai tau kway. So I must go and line up and make sure I get. Become preoccupied by all these things. Don't be preoccupied by all these things. Be preoccupied rather with now finally is here. Occupy till I come. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Be preoccupied by this. Be preoccupied by the reality of life. Time is limited. Before I lie in the coffin, let me make sure that I have a good name, a good reputation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever I can do for the Lord, I must do. Then after that, I look forward to the time where I will be together with the Lord, where He will say, God willing, right, it will be well done, thou good and faithful servant. The commendation of the Lord, which I so desire to hear. I desire to hear that because He loved me. And so, because He first loved me, so therefore I love Him. I desire to please my Lord. That should be what is in our hearts. So, next time, when there is opportunity to go to the house of mourning, let us go. And let us go with hearts prepared to be confronted by the reality of life, by the truth of the Holy Scriptures, because that is what is necessary for our soul. The house of mourning is better than the house of feasting. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, indeed, we are reminded how short our life is here on this earth. Oh, the brevity of our life. But we know, Father, that this life that we have on this earth is in Thy hands. And the fact that we are still alive means that there is much that we need to do. And so, Father, we thank Thee of the reminder in Thy Holy Scriptures concerning the house of mourning and how indeed in this life we need to labor hard for Thee. Thank Thee for the reminder of reality. And so we pray that while we have this breath, You will help us always to do our best. Help us not to be deceived by the lights of the world, but help us to follow after Thy Holy Scriptures, to have our eyes always turned upon our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed we know that as our eyes are fixed upon our Savior, indeed the things of the world will grow dim. So help us, O Lord, and cause us to walk faithfully in Thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.